All right, turn your Bibles to Psalm 90, the 90th Psalm. This is a unique Psalm here. It's got a heading up here. It says a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Some of them, theologians, writers, think that Moses might have wrote all these psalms that don't have a heading to them. Psalm 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. I don't believe that. Don't hold to it. Some of them got too much of David in them. But when it said clearly here that Psalm 90 was the prayer of Moses, the man of God, we believe he wrote that. And it was installed in the book of Psalms. But this, anyway, that's what I'm going to try to bring a message from this morning. Try to bring a thought on God's estimate of time. Time's mentioned quite a bit. Reference is made to time. Things about time. Shadows. Time like a shadow, you know. Time's like a tail toe. It's just, you know what he's talking about there. Somebody tell you a story. It don't take them long to tell it, does it? Some of them are shorter than others. And but anyway, it don't take long to tell a pretty good story. It's, that's life. That's the way life is. You know, after we're dead and gone, if there's anything to tell about us, somebody can sit down and tell it in just a little while. And you don't have to get every detail. They can say, tell a few things, hit the high spots, and go on. And it'll be over with. You get a pretty good idea of who you are, who you were, how you lived. But anyway, I want to bring a message on God's estimate of time. Let's look at verse 1 through 5. We'll just read those first 5 verses, and we'll probably touch on some others before we're through here. But Moses said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Lord, thou hast been whose dwelling place? Ours. He's making reference to the elect of God, to those that God chose out of the world. You know, Israel was a chosen nation. And God said, I didn't choose you because you were great. I chose you because you were few. Not because you're the most numbered of the nations, but I chose you because you were few. And of course, he started with Abraham. And then along come Isaac. And out of Isaac came Jacob. Out of Jacob came 12 tribes. Those 12 tribes, of course, was developed. And then finally, Jacob had to leave Egypt, and he took his family and went. Joseph was already down there due to being sold out by his brethren. And not beholding to Jacob. Jacob thought Joseph was dead, thought he was gone. But Joseph was there, but when he found out that Joseph was in Egypt, Joseph sent for him. He took the rest of his family and went to Egypt. And but the number of the souls that were in Egypt after Jacob got there and with his family, counting Joseph, was only 70. Just a few, but they developed, you know, over the years. About 243 years, the way I figured it, maybe more than that, maybe less. I think about 243 years it developed. A nation. Pretty good sized nation, wasn't it? Came out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses. But compared to the other nations, it was still a very small nation. Still a few people. And of course, all those that came out, the scripture says this, all those that came out of Egypt with Israel was not Egypt. Was not Israel. It's just some stragglers wanted to get out of there and thought it was a good chance to go, so they went. and gave the people of God a pretty tough time. But you know, just going back, just scanning that right quickly, we come to this prayer here. Lord, thou hast been our refuge. He still is our refuge. He still spreads his wing over us, just like he spread his wing over ancient Israel and kept them, protected them. So he does us. Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. There's been an innumerable number, account of generations since Adam and Eve was created, you know, in this old world, human beings. My soul, it's mind-boggling to think about it. But then he goes on and says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever there had... or thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, there you are, God. There you are. God, thou art God. Everlasting to everlasting. There have been a time when God wasn't. Never been a time when God, if we can say time, in context with God, never been a time when God wasn't. He goes on and says, this is what turns a little bit strange right here. He said, thou turnest man to destruction. I'm going to try to enlarge on that, so stay with me. And says, return, ye children of men. Then he says this, for 1,000 years in thy sight is but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. Those days are as a sleep in the night. That is with God. In the morning they are like grass that goeth up. In the evening, what happens to grass? It withers. After a while, it withers. Sun withers the grass, and grass fades away. That's life. He's talking about life here. How life is. Don't last long. It really don't last long. So the first thing I want to deal with is a contradistinction. And let me explain what I mean here. I had to go to Mr. Noah Webster to find out myself what I meant here. Using this word contradistinction, that meaning an assertion of the contrary, what has been said or affirmed. An assertion of the contrary to what's already been said or affirmed. Talk about David says, that's been our refuge for all generations. Generation after generation after generation. And then he goes immediately and says, yet thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. Trying to separate two things here. Time and eternity. Time and eternity. That is something, isn't it? It's mind-boggling to us poor creatures that live by time. We live by time, don't we? I mean, we move by time. We schedule everything by time. The time for you to get up, and time for you to leave, and time for you to come home, isn't it, Jason? You got time. You got schedules, ain't you, Rod, at the sheriff's office there. Well, you got things to do here and things to do there and right on down the line until the day is finished. And then you come home. It's time to come home. So it is. That's the way we live. We live by time. And folks talking about retiring, it doesn't get any difference after you retire. You're still going to do things, and you're going to set schedules. You're going to do things on time. Some of the things you're going to force yourself to do on time. You don't laze around and do nothing. Because you're retired, are you? You can't do that. Can't do that. So, a meaning, a contradistinction, a meaning and an assertion, that is, the meaning is this, an assertion of the contrary to what has been said or affirmed. In other words, what is so with man is not so with God. So, did I make that clear enough? What is so with time, with man is not so with God. Time is so with us. But time is not so with God. It don't mean anything to God. Doesn't mean a thing in the world to God. Time means everything to us, but nothing with God. And this is seen from God's his immutability, his unchangeableness. God never changes. I am the Lord, he says in Malachi. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Never changing. Yeah, James talks about the immutability of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Not the remote sense. Is there a change with God? He's always the same. Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't tell somebody about who Jesus Christ is. Only God is yesterday, today, and forever. That ought to help somebody, shouldn't it? Don't. Some folks got their minds set and eyes blind. No, Jesus is not God. Oh, yes, Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. He's as much God as the Father is God. He's God. So don't eat food, but just go on about your business. Go somewhere else. When those knock on your door and try to convince you with their little watchtower in their hand, no such thing as Jesus being God. He's just a Son of God, just like you are a Son of God, like Adam was a Son of God. Now, he was the only begotten of the Father. The only one of his kind. God of God. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2 again. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Thou art God. So with God, there's no past, really. There's no past. There's no future. What's he saying? With God, everything is right now. You understand what I'm saying? Everything is right now with God. Don't look back yonder or look over here. Everything is right. He sees everything at once. Is that saying too much, Steve? He sees everything at one time. That's God, isn't it? He sees everything. Everything's established. His eternal decree has established all things. It's like something's been etched in stone or written down and filed away, never to be changed. That's God. That's God. Look at verse 3 again. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. Well, you say, man passes away. God continues ever the same. You know, the word rendered destruction there is an interesting word, the Hebrew word. Means anything beaten or broken, small or very, very fine, or hence we could say dust. That's what that word refers to there. God, look at that again. Thou turnest man to dust. Well, he made man from dust, didn't he? So I guess if he wants to, he can turn man to dust. He does. That's what death does to us. It turns us back and sends us back toward what we was when God made us. That's the way this thing works. That's the way it works. You ever stop and think about all the people you've known over life that's gone on, not in this world no more? Well, the older you get, the more you'll think about that. The more you'll think about that. And that way, a cousin of mine was talking to his mom and daddy one time. He visited funeral homes a lot. Went to a lot of funerals, he noticed. He got to noticing that. The older he got, the more he saw him leaving the house, dressed up, and got that old red. They used to sing at funerals. And he'd go into a funeral somewhere, going to the funeral home. One day he asked him, his dad, he said, why you and mama go to all these funerals? You know what he told him? Real simple. He looked at him and said, son, your time's coming. Son, your time's coming. That's so. Your time's coming. It's come, hasn't it, for a lot of us. It's come. Yeah. The idea here is, therefore, is God causes man to return to dust. Destruction is dust. Return to death and to dust. That is, the elements which compose the body return to their original condition. And what they do out there is mingle with the dirt, the earth. You understand what I'm saying? Your bodies, one of these old bodies, my body, one of these days going to be laid down out there. It's mingling with the old earth. And God did that. So if anybody's ever got the idea, want to ask the pastor, Pastor Worthen, what do you think about cremation? Well, I just got one verse that I sort of linger on. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, where God told Adam and Eve, he said, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So don't, somebody said, well, you know, it's so expensive now to have a funeral. I don't think I'll put my family to that thing of going to all that expense. They just let them burn me up somewhere. Well, try to pay for it before it gets here. I'm trying to do that now. Making payments, but try to do that now. And when it gets here, you won't have to be burned up. You just do like God says. Let somebody put you in the ground out there. I don't know why we've gone to all this stuff to expense anyway. I don't know if they could do anything about it. They might could now. Steve, you tell me about this. Could they just take you out there, somebody out there? Could they take your old buddy out there somewhere and dig a 6-foot hole and drop you in there and cover you up real good? On your own land? I wouldn't see why there'd be anything wrong with that. And to me, that'd be a good way to be buried, you know. If you got enough ground to be buried on. But anyway. But I said, well, you trying to take something morbid and make a joke out of it? No, I'm not making a joke out of this thing. I'm just telling you what's the truth, how I feel about it. And really, with me, death is not that morbid anyway. Whatever you do with this, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be with the Lord. Isn't that what the scripture says? Has another contradistinction in it. Not really. That's affirmed in both ways, isn't it? Well, if you think it's morbid, we'll move on. Now, the word man here, it's interesting. Oh, so every word in this prayer here that Moses prayed is very interesting. The word man here refers to man in general, of course, number one. Or all people, where he says, thou turnest man to destruction. He turns all men to destruction. It's a law. This is a great law. Just like the law of gravity. You know, it's a law that you can't go beyond. The law of our being individual man, classes of people, generations of people, races of people, pass away. God remains the same. He never changes. We do. Right. We change. Yeah. The Septuagint, it's the Greek Bible, I guess, written in Greek. Septuagint. Written for the old Jews. And the Latin called Vulgate, vulgar, render this thou turnest man to humiliation. Destruction is, they wrote it, humiliation. Well, there's nothing, I thought about this, there's nothing more humiliating than that a human body, once so beautiful, so young and so fresh and so beautiful, that a human body should be turned back to dust. That's humiliating, isn't it? Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah, but there's nothing more humbling than the grave, is there? My wife sometimes says, she did yesterday, she's cleaning the house, one end to the other. She cleans up everything. She'd sweep me out. I didn't get out of the way. But she's cleaning up everything. And she called out to me, said, you need to change the filter in this furnace. Why? Well, the house is filling up with dust, accumulating dust, collecting dust. She bought me a dustpan where she swept dust out from under a chest of drawers or something or other. Showed it to me. There it was right there, dust. That's us. Swept somebody out from under a chest of drawers. Yeah. All we do, collect dust, didn't it? And then he said this. He said, return, ye children of men. That word man there is Adam. Adam. Return, ye children of Adam, to where ye came from. Where'd we come from? We came out of the loins of Adam. Where'd Adam come from? He came out of a handful of dirt that God raked up and formed, made to look like you. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. A return, in other words, to your dust. Go back to the earth from whence you came. Return, all of you, without exception, kings, princes, nobles, presidents, elect presidents. Great warriors, conquerors, mighty people, captains, counselors, learned men, ignorant men, great, and honored and flattered, and beautiful and happy, youthful and vigorous, aged and venerable, whatever your rank, whatever are your possessions, whatever are your honors, whatever you've done to make you lovely, to charm, to please, to be admired, whatever there is to make you loathsome or detestable or vicious or profane, low, sensual, debased. He says, get up, return to dust. Every one of you, that's all you are. That's all you are. You know, I preached a while back out of Isaiah where we're nothing but a bunch of potsherds, broken pots, pieces of broken clay pots. Some of them reply against God that made them. Don't they? Bad this day. Replying against the God that made them. Yeah. You know, man may be sent off pretty well. Dies. Like every human being, one time or the other, dies. Somebody's able to send him off pretty good, Chris. Send him, have a pretty good funeral for him, you know. I know a boy that lived up here at Villarick for years. I liked him. He's a professional gambler. And he used to admire me. Never hit a lick of the snake, I don't guess. Never worked at all, but he was likable. And he had his arm shot off at the picture show up there one day. Bill Ricker called it theater, you know, the picture show back then. And he had his arm shot off. It was right or left. Took that thing off at the elbow. And fixed him a artificial arm with a crook on it. You know, and he could operate that thing. That is, he could open over that crook up and reach out there and get it. And he dealt those cards with that crook. He'd reach over and flip them cards over on the table with that crook, you know. And he won a big old, I'm beautiful, knock your eyes out, a diamond ring in a poker game. And he wanted to be, when he was buried, he wanted to be buried with that diamond ring. He didn't know, don't take that off my finger, off that good hand. And a friend of mine went to his funeral. I didn't go. He said, Terry, he said, I never saw a more sophisticated fellow in all my life than old Jesse laying over in that coffin. He said, they had him dressed in a nice, beautiful blue suit, all dressed up real good in that crook over his chest, and that other hand over that crooked arm. And he said that ring was right up there, right. They had it fixed just right. Light shining on that diamond, it knocked your eye out. Yeah. That's a pretty nice way to be sent off, wasn't it? Huh? But he just as dead as the poorest fella that ever been put in that ground out there. Yeah. And he's just as sure to turn to dust as the prince turns to dust. And the pauper's to turn to dust. Why? Because God has called it so. God has commanded it so. He says right here in this text, he says it, return, ye children of men, to where ye came from. So it is. So it is. Whatever rank, that's where we're all going. Maybe said to clear the difficulty in man's return, resurrection from the dead. When God calls his people from the dead, they're going to return. They're going to meet Christ when he comes, when he shouts, when the trumpets blow. Coming out of that tomb, out of that ground, wherever they are, whatever the condition, that dust, if it's just entirely dust, nothing but powder, all of a sudden it's going to take that form again, be glorified, meet the Lord in the air. It's coming. Yeah. Return to the Lord. The elect to meet the Lord in the air at that great resurrection day. You know, taking it length of time, talking about time, some's continued there a long time in that grave, hadn't it? In that ground out there. Old Abel's been out there nearly 7,000 years. Son of Adam. Cain killed him. I just believe they probably buried him out there. That land somewhere over there. That old body's been laying out there 7,000 years. And yet God says when the shout comes, when the archangel shouts and the trumpet sound, old Abel's dust is going to be revived, given life, formed again, glorified, and called up to meet the Lord in the air. Isn't that something? That's so. I read it in the book and I believe it, don't you? I do. You know, when it's observed that in God's sight and estimate and account, 1,000 years are but one day, putting it in all this context that I've tried to give you here ought to help you realize that therefore there a man should lay in the grave for all those years, some 7,000 years and more. It would be but as so many days with God. Doesn't mean a thing in the world. Time doesn't mean one thing with God. He's been right there. He's been right there all those years. Right there with the bodies of his saints. And he'll bring them forth in his own time. Not our time, but in his time. How much should it do to abase the pride of this old race of ours? I hope somebody out there somewhere hears this message and it brings them to get on their knees and cry out to God and cry out for God to have mercy on me. That's the sinner. That's all we are, is sinners needing mercy from God. Nothing. Nothing but dust. Nothing but dust. God have mercy. Folks think there's something. Oh, don't they? Well, let me say this right quick and I'm through. This is my second point. I'll be so much shorter on this than I was that first one. You know, this is a lingering idea. It is. You can go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Do that for me. Look over there in 2 Peter chapter 3. I think Peter borrowed this from the prayer of Moses over here. I really do. I think he did. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at it. In verse number, we'll start with verse number 3. That'd be a good place to start there. 2 Peter 3, 3. Got it there, he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after. I've met some of these. I have face to face and had them to respond just like this to me. One of them I never forget was very, very close. Very close to my heart. And to tell him that the Lord was coming back. Please get ready. The Lord's coming again. Please get ready. Yeah, he scoffed, walking after his own lust, and said, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. I've heard that all my life. I said, well, he's still coming. He's still coming. May not in your lifetime, may not in my lifetime, but blessed be God, he's coming. Why do I know that? Because he said so. I believe him. He's coming. Yeah, he goes on and says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, there was literally a flood. God destroyed everything on it, but the 8 that he saved in the ark, Noah and his family. Whereby he said the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire. Yeah, it's going to be baptized with fire, just like the old world was baptized with water. Against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, here it is right here. Here's where he draws it from Moses' psalm. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. Don't judge things by your limited ability. As you hamstring with the schedule of time, judge it by the word of the Lord. What God says, he says. Where it's been 1,000 or 7,000 years since he said it, it's nothing with him. Yeah. Yeah, this, I think, aptly expresses the disproportion there is between the eternal God and mortal man. If man should live 1,000 years, which no man ever did, Methuselah, I have the record of it, was the oldest man to live, 969 years, wasn't it? Yeah. So if man should live 1,000 years, yet this would be as yesterday with God, with whom eternity itself with God is but a day. He says to us in Isaiah 43:13, yes, before the day was, I am he. Before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, he says. And who shall prevent it? So a man, any man, that has lived the longest is but as yesterday. Where do you live 1,000 years? Just 1,000 years. And that is twice told in the scripture, here in Peter and there in Moses' psalm. God doesn't have to say anything but one time for it to be so. Or it's twice told. 1,000 years would be but as yesterday when it's past. And listen to me, this is my last thought here. If a man is not converted, God will bring death upon him, according to this word here. He'll send you back to the dust, to mix and mingle with that old sod, till there's nothing left there but a speck of dust. Let me ask you, what then? What then? He goes on and says here in this psalm, I'll read it and I'm through, especially down to verse number 12. You want to turn your Bibles back over there? We've got just a couple of minutes to read this. Verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cast down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and in thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before us, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our days as a tale that is told. For the days of our years are 70. That's 70. I've just passed that by 8 years. Well, he says to me, don't think too highly of yourself. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Oh, Paul likes that song. Some glad morning I'll fly away. Yeah. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. Now watch verse 12. So teach us. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. You know what the greatest wisdom that a man can have? It's the wisdom that God gives you to know where salvation is and to flee as quick as possible to that only refuge, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right. That's my thought this morning. That's my thought on it. God's estimate of time. All right, let's sing a hymn. We'll be dismissed.